A Dose of the Sublime, written and read by Fresney, fandom's Sherlock Television. Relationship Sherlock, John Watson. Warnings for a Megaverse. Gender-bending female John. Features male alpha, female omega. Part of the Variations on an Equation series. Where the reality were academic rivalry, begun when Professor Holmes' review of Professor Moriarty's book, Monks, Demons, and Bleeding Nuns of the Romantics, called it puerile and repetitive. Had Professor Moriarty slipping a dose of fuck heat into Professor Holmes' favorite student's tea, just as the Meg was toddling on her way to manufacture a question for, "Oh, your analyses are so amazing, Professor Holmes. Oh, you are so brilliant. Oh, could you explain something obvious with your cock?" Moriarty's timing was perfect. He made it back to his own office. Moriarty popped the cork on the champagne he had chilling. He popped some popcorn. He propped his feet on his desk to watch the live stream from the camera that he'd had an engineering student set up in Holmes's office in exchange for a passing grade in Intro to English Literature. Holmes' pet was just perfect. She shimmied into Holmes's office and closed the door. "Are you busy, Professor?" Moriarty sneered over a handful of popcorn, as if anyone visited Holmes during office hours. No one visited Moriarty either, but at least his TAs were in proper terror of him and took care of things, not quitting in tears. It took Holmes exactly 3 seconds to vault over his geologic disaster of a desk. Moriarty suspected the lost folio of the Seven Pillars of Wisdom was under there somewhere, swept the piled contents off the only chair in the room, which, at this point, should be considered the little bitch's dog bed. Certainly no one else ever sat there. Dean Lestrade tried a few weeks ago, and Holmes piled the complete works of George Sand on top of it. "No, Miss Watson. Yes, no, of course." He did this ridiculous, "I'm emotionally constipated, but I want to fuck you," hair fluff thing. Moriarty mimed it. "Do you have a question?" Holmes perched on the edge of his desk, dangerously close to causing a Gothic literature landslide, and tried to put a smile on, like he was a normal person, which he was not. Neither of them were. That was the point. They were better than all of these students. Simmons poked her head in Moriarty's office door. "I've finished washing your car, sir. Professor, sir, is there anything, "Fuck off, I'm busy." Simmons glanced at the widescreen monitor, but was sufficiently cowed to scurry the fuck off. Moriarty looked at the feed stats. A few thousand. Not as good as he'd hoped. At least some souls had actually clicked through to the free porn spam. Trusting of them, but they were about to be rewarded for their trust.
"Yes, Professor,
She plopped her frankly enormous ass in the chair. She brushed her cheek, which was already flushing with heat.
You mentioned in class today that when Frankenstein first sees the creature, he experiences Stendhal syndrome, but I don't...
The little bitch was fanning herself.
Professor, I just don't get it.
Holmes said, "You know my methods, Miss Watson. Apply them."
Well,
shifting the pleats on her fairly horrible yellow and black plaid skirt. Moriarty wasn't going to complain about wardrobe. lumpy, shapeless black sweater and a plaid skirt with heavy stockings. She looked like she was in Catholic high school, not uni. She shifted some more. Okay, so he feels dizzy and horrified when he sees what he's created, and... yeah, no, I don't know. He's a horrible dad. Fuck him. Holmes sighed his simultaneously peeved and delighted-to-show-off sigh. Think, Miss Watson, think. Use your brain. She laughed and tossed her "I'm a dumb blonde, please fuck me" hair over her shoulder. Yeah, I've got an engineering major brain, not a super lit analysis brain. Please? She leaned forward on her knees. Could you walk me through it? It really helps. Holmes breathed in. Moriarty hoped he was getting a good whiff. By now the little bitch had to be putting off all sorts of fuck-me stench. What did the Virgin do but close his eyes and look like he was praying? How can I describe my emotions at this catastrophe? Or how delineate the wretch whom with such infinite pains and care I had endeavored to form? His limbs were in proportion, and I had selected his features as beautiful, beautiful. His yellow skin scarcely covered the work of muscles and arteries beneath. His hair was of lustrous black and flowing, his teeth of a pearly whiteness. But these luxuriances only formed a more horrid contrast with his watery eyes, that seemed almost of the same color as the dun white sockets in which they were set, his shriveled complexion and straight black lips. Holmes opened his eyes and spread his hands, palms out. Frankenstein had spent years creating this creature, crafting it, creating life. Something sublime, something reserved for the gods, not just the rude exchange of sweat-slick bodies, mindlessly moving against each other to knot and... Holmes flushed and swallowed heavily. He glanced up and away, and then back again. Yes, not sex, Miss Watson.
Yeah, Professor.
She was fairly pink-cheeked herself.
Sex. Yeah.
She twisted some more in her chair and fanned herself.
But... I don't understand why something sublime would make him react... why... She was going to say it. She was going to say it. Wow. It's really hot in here.
Then she started taking off her clothes. She pulled off her sweater, her body twisting to reveal a buttoned-up white shirt as she pulled the wool over her head and dropped it onto her backpack. A very tight, buttoned-up shirt, straining against the pressure of her cantaloupe-sized breasts. Moriarty downed his glass of champagne and poured himself another. Better and better. Holmes was staring at his pet as if she was simultaneously the original Jane Eyre manuscript and a sequel, produced by Hollywood. There was a strand of blonde hair stuck to the wax of her pink lipstick. You have a... He reached out and his fingers pulled slowly across his pet's flushed cheek as he freed the hair. They both inhaled sharply at the same time and let it out in the same rhythm.
The sublime.
Holmes cleared his throat and knotted his hands together tightly. Tight enough to make the knuckles white. You were asking about the sublime.
Yeah, Professor. She simpered a, you are so brilliant for knowing a basic concept, Professor, look.
She'd managed to dislodge a button on her shirt. Moriarty supposed that the shirt was under a lot of pressure.
I feel...
Holmes was staring at her as if he was Oliver Twist, and she was an extra bowl of soup. Holmes' eyes were enormous.
He breathed in deeply and shifted uncomfortably on his desk.
Kant. Yes, Kant. He divided the sublime into three types. The noble, the splendid, and the terrifying.
Terrifying, breathed his pet. She squirmed in her chair. I just can't get... I feel... Oh, God, you're beautiful.
Holmes reacted as if struck. No, no, no. The sublime isn't beautiful.
Holmes was staring at her like he was a wee enormous orphan. Perhaps he was a Brobdingnagian orphan.
The sublime is irregular, immense, and overwhelming.
He rubbed the side of his head and swallowed.
Overwhelming.
Yeah.
She rubbed at her chest, and another highly stressed button popped free.
But, Stendhal...
Ms. Watson. Holmes slid closer. When Stendhal was exposed to the art in Florence, he felt dizzy, simultaneous pleasure and terror, at a feeling so powerful it could destroy him. This is what Frankenstein felt. He gave in to that terror. Have you ever...
Yeah, Professor. Yeah, I...
She rubbed at her chest, and two more buttons came undone. Moriarty refilled his glass. At least that shirt wasn't under any more strain. He toasted the screen. Nice bra. Where did you buy it? Sears.
Holmes said, Ms. Watson, I should...
And moved closer.
Poor Brobdingnagian thing.
Moriarty was taking a sip of champagne just as Holmes breathed rapidly three times and launched himself at his pet, who launched herself at him. Moriarty almost choked. It was the most hilariously awkward thing he'd ever seen. He'd have thought Holmes had never kissed anyone. Oh, wait, he hadn't. There were mashed lips as teeth ground, limbs everywhere, the remaining buttons ripped off her shirt. Holmes' hands frantically struggling with the hooks of the little bitch's epically sturdy bra, until she twisted away and reached back and the bra was off, and flung to dangle on the "Look how pretentious I am" bust of Veronica Franco. Holmes just kept saying, "The sublime, you're... Miss Watson, I... Oh, it's more important than beauty, Miss Watson. Do you understand? Miss Watson..." While practically bending in half to frantically kiss one breast and then the other. "Make up your mind, man. Pick a breast and stick to it," said Moriarty. He ate another handful of popcorn. Moriarty realized there was something he'd forgotten and cued the porn music into the feed as Holmes pushed his pet's plaid skirt up. Moriarty said, "Oh my, Miss Watson. How naughty." That hideous knee-length skirt had been hiding the fact that the little bitch's thick black tights were actually knee-high stockings. There was a good 13 inches of bare, plump thighs before ending in lacy red panties, which stretched across that epic ass of hers. A hook of the pet's thumbs and the panties were shaken off in a ridiculous dance. Holmes lifted her up by her enormous ass. His favorite little pet wrapped her meaty thighs around Holmes, while he mashed his face between her breasts as she humped against him. Then the naughty little pet did something with Holmes's belt and... "We have trousers at half-mast. We have half-mast trow." Moriarty mused. If only Holmes had gotten a pet when all this had started. But then, Miss Watson would actually have been in high school, instead of just looking it. Moriarty toasted the marvelous present day. He checked the stats on the live feed. Better and better. Up to 1.5 million views. Holmes adjusted his ridiculously long fingers around his pet's bare ass,
Holmes adjusted his ridiculously long fingers around his pet's bare ass and spun her around to seat her on the mounds of paper on top of his desk. She squirmed against him. "Professor Holmes, I get it. It's terrifying, and I want... Give it to me." She shoved Holmes' underwear down first with her hands and then feet. "We have free cock. We have a free cock. The cock is free." Moriarty chuckled over the stats. 2.1 million views. Although, he sniffed, "my cock's bigger." "Possibly." Holmes flailed around awkwardly with his cock. Miss Watson gave him a hand, lined him up, and we have fucking. We have achieved active fucking. It was not nearly as funny as the early flailing had been. At first, there wasn't much to see. Holmes was just sort of slowly sinking into her, and they were scrunching their faces and making oh noises. Holmes' favorite student lifted her hips and whined, "Please, Professor, I need..." And Holmes was on the move. Holmes was a musician. Moriarty had to give him that. He had an excellent sense of rhythm. He was certainly pounding a series of ratcheting whines out of his little pet. Not that she wasn't giving Holmes a pretty active ride, too. Breasts bouncing, face scrunched in a, "Oh God, sex!" expression. And Moriarty was wishing he'd thought to set up a second camera. "Professor! Oh, Professor Holmes, I get it!" She bucked against him, and the dickens was on the floor. I need the... sublime!" She swept more papers off the desk. Holmes groaned, "Miss Watson, I need it too," and tightened his grip on her hips. "Give it to me! Oh, God, yes, give it to me, please, Professor!" She kicked her heels against his back. "Harder! Give it to me! It's so big, overwhelming! I need it! Give it to me!" Holmes was really giving it to her. He was actually shoving her across the desk. By now, he was half on the desk and half off of it. He looked like a stork. More papers fell off. He pumped once and twice and shook his head and pulled out of her and stumbled off the desk. This angle was probably making his cock seem larger than it was. The poor little favorite whined at the loss. "No, please, no, Professor. I get it. Don't... I... give it!" Holmes pulled his pet forward across the desk and raised her legs over his shoulders. She laughed. "Angles of force, yeah. I get that." She hooked her knotty, stockinged legs. Oh, my. She was still wearing her shoes. Around his neck and was almost bent in half on the desk as he jackhammered ratcheting cries and ratcheting cries from his little favorite. Moriarty clutched his champagne glass. Holmes yelled, "Ms. Watson!" The pet yelled, "Professor Holmes! Oh, God, Professor Holmes!" Holmes yelled a long guttural noise and stopped moving. His pet dropped her legs to wrap around his waist. "Professor, oh, God! We've nodded! We've... I can feel you! Oh, God!" Moriarty checked the feed, nodded to 3.6 million views. He clucked his tongue, nodded and bred. Knocked up. One in the oven. In the duff. Up shit creek. Fucked. Holmes had slumped over his pet, whispering something the feed couldn't catch. Moriarty triggered the email to the dean's office that would send the link for registration to the dean's conference in Atlanta. 50% off for registration in the next 24 hours. Dean Lestrade was famously cheap. His secretary would leap at the link and get an eyeful. Moriarty scratched his belly. They weren't really doing much. He went to the restroom. All that champagne was going straight through him. When he came back, Holmes and his pet were actually sort of pumping, which
he hadn't thought was actually possible given the knot, but it wasn't called rutting for nothing. And ratcheted through another round of, "Ms. Watson, oh God, Professor!" orgasm to another 500,000 views as Tokyo woke up and reached out for free porn. Konnichiwa or something. Moriarty finished his popcorn, but at this point the show was fairly repetitive. Holmes had been reduced to fairly pathetic pre-verbal noises, and his pet wouldn't shut up about the fucking knot already. It was getting boring. Still no Dean. By now, Holmes had to have pumped his pet with a metric ton of his hopefully very virile sperm in her hopefully very fecund body. That would be the cherry on top. The absolute cherry on top. Unless she had an STD. That would be the cherry and sprinkles. Although they'd rolled over, and currently the little favorite was writhing around on top of Holmes, going on about his knot, and wanting more of the sublime. As, based on the noises they were making, Holmes gave her some more. Moriarty went so far as to grade a few papers, which was really beneath him. He glanced at the feed a few times. Eventually, they decoupled. At some point, the fuck heat would wear off. The frat boy dick he'd bought the stuff from had sworn up and down it would burn out of an Omega's system in an hour or so, leaving no trace. Just the Omega's word against the Alpha's. Moriarty was quite pleased with the disguise he'd worn meeting the little dick. Still no Dean. Now they were sprawled across the desk, holding each other. Holmes was crying and shaking of all things. He said, I feel Stendhal syndrome. Moriarty was glad he'd sprang for the more expensive sound system. He might make a gif of this moment. The little bitch kissed Holmes. Me too. But I've got you. I've got you. Still no Dean. They moved to the chair. She curled into Holmes's lap. They regressed to heavy petting. After the earlier show, it was tame stuff, although the numbers were holding up. Also, Holmes's member was firming up for another go. Holmes' pet got up and locked the door, which, given that Dean Lestrade had the key, wasn't going to help much if he actually decided to show up. Took off the rest of her clothes to reveal her chubby tummy, stripped Holmes of the rest of his, and rode him for a loud round of sloppy seconds, which was fortunate, because that meant Dean Lestrade showed up while a tenured professor was balls deep in an undergrad. For the next 3 days following Holmes's summary career execution, Moriarty enjoyed the sweet feeling of success. He smiled at his TAs. He actually talked to his students. It was on the fourth day that the police showed up at his house. It would seem that bribing a university student with a B in Intro to Literature was not enough to actually buy silence, which he tried to explain as merely an academic prank that had gone amiss. His lawyer, Moran, latched onto the defensive strategy that Professor James Moriarty was merely guilty of spying on a fellow professor. Really, how was he to know that Professor Holmes was fucking his students? And it was Miss Watson herself who had arranged to go to the office hours during her heat. It turned out Holmes had been pretty determined to figure out what happened. Possibly the pet, too. She certainly trotted around after him. They preserved the cup of tea with its traces of fuck heat. They insisted his office garbage be searched to find the extra he'd thrown out. Who did that? Miss Watson smiled cheerfully throughout the trial, while the illiterate engineering student and even the frat dick gave their evidence. Somehow, Holmes had even tracked down the security camera footage from the store across from the frat house and an ATM down the street, which showed someone that might have looked like him. Moriarty made clear to Moran that the weak link would have to be the bitch. Moriarty was fairly certain that during one of the breaks, Holmes went down on her in the bathroom. He could see it in their eyes, also in the slight stain on Holmes's trousers, and the cat and the cream glow on the favorite's self-satisfied face. Moran went hard on the slutty bitch angle, just as Moriarty had instructed. They got an ex of hers to testify that her nickname was Three Continents Watson. Shame the little slut back to the Stone Age. But somehow she was the one controlling the jury. She brought the house down when she answered Moran. No, I wasn't the virgin in the room. For Christ's sake, it's the 21st century. Omegas control their own sexuality. Get over it. Then she crossed her legs wearing the exact same stockings that she'd been wearing that day. I wasn't a virgin. It wasn't my first time. But it was William's. Have a little respect. Moran narrowed his eyes. Ms. Watson, you've been visiting Professor Holmes quite a bit. Do you deny that you had a motive other than... He ostentatiously looked at his yellow legal pad. Learning more about the sublime? She rolled her eyes. Yeah, he's hot. But he's a professor. And a decade older than me. The only reason I was in his class is because Stamford, my academic advisor, told me I needed to kill a lit writing an Omega Studies requirement on risk of not graduating. And his class was the only one that had all three. I figured it would be 3 months of some alpha-splaining what it meant to be an Omega. But somehow, it's one of the best classes I've ever taken. He's so engaged and passionate. He made something I thought would be boring interesting. So yeah, I went to every class and review session and went to office hours because when Moran said, "That's enough, Miss Watson. I think it's clear from your testimony that you wanted William Sherlock Scott Holmes. And having tried every other means, you are willing to do anything to have him." The little bitch looked at the judge. "But I still haven't answered his question about the sublime. I get to do that, right? Answer his question?" The judge nodded. "You can answer his question, Miss Watson." She smiled across the room at Holmes, who mooned ridiculously back at her. "The sublime is when you see something that isn't perfect. It's not tummy-tucked or airbrushed. It's raw, and maybe it's ugly. But it's powerful. Looking at it is so overwhelming that you simultaneously freak out and want to keep on looking at it." In that definition, I did go to William's office to learn more about something that scared me shitless. Something I didn't think I deserved. But I didn't take the fuck heat willingly. I just had my heat a week before and was trying to catch up in my classes. I wouldn't have wanted anyone's first time to be out of their mind. I wouldn't have wanted that. I wouldn't have wanted the best, most brilliant alpha I've ever met to be out of his mind. What I would have wanted is for him to rationally experience the sublime in all its terrifying, ugly beauty. And I certainly didn't want it to be broadcast across the internet. That's going to follow us forever. We didn't even use a condom. She straightened her shoulders. Thank God I was on birth control, or that's something else that asswipe would have taken from us. Moran smiled an oily smile. Are you and Mr. Holmes still sexually active? Yeah, he's not my professor anymore. The bitch actually rolled her eyes, which should be illegal. He recites the sonnets from the Portuguese to me in bed. Calls me an illiterate troglodyte for not getting it, which is fine, because he's a total Luddite, then demonstrates his explanation while we have consensual sex between two consenting adults. I mean, really, have you heard his voice? She shrugged, and nine of the jurors and one of the alternates nodded. Moriarty was certain he could use that
when he applied for a mistrial after the guilty verdict came down. He really couldn't. Also, by the time Holmes and his bitch finished suing him for emotional distress, he'd been stripped of his degrees, his honors, and most of his money. At least the money they knew about. He covered a smirk, because they hadn't uncovered the Cayman Island account. On his way out of the courthouse in the civil case, a tall, thin beta, who might have made a good double for a scarecrow, stopped him. "You may count yourself fortunate that the end results of your actions were to the emotional benefit of William Holmes. You may be also assured that had it been to the contrary, my response would not be so mild." Which was when Moriarty discovered that he was being prosecuted by the SECC. It turned out that giving entitled trust fund morons a passing grade in exchange for stock tips from their parents was considered insider trading. Also, the fucking scarecrow knew about the Cayman account. Still, he'd always have literature. The library of the prison where he'd be spending the next 8 to 10 years was entirely stocked in popular potboilers, bestseller garbage, and nonfiction. The end.
The subject of schoolgirl fantasy. She wants him so badly.